It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Diplomats from all over the world are meeting in Geneva this week to draft a crucial plan to address climate change. Meanwhile, a worldwide fossil fuel divestment movement has marked February 13th and 14th, Global Divestment Days. Locally, the Fossil Free Pitt Coalition and the Thomas Merton Center are holding a fossil fuel divestment rally and teach-in at the University of Pittsburgh. Here to talk about local efforts to divest from fossil fuel industries are Nick Goodfellow. He's a student organizer with the Fossil Free Pitt Coalition. Welcome, Nick.
Hello.
And Gabe McMorland is an organizer at the Thomas Merton Center, and he is organizing the campaign to urge the city of Pittsburgh to divest itself of investment in fossil fuels. Gabe, good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you.
What are the dangers, as far as you are concerned, of certain institutions such as Pitt or other businesses investing in fossil fuels?
Gabe? Well, there are really two angles to it. One is financial risk, and the other is our own ethical and moral position that we would like to take in our public institutions. So everyone's already pretty familiar, I'm sure, with the ethical and moral issues surrounding the fossil fuel industry.
Well, they may not be. What would you say
so
that they are?
I'll lay them out, and then I'll jump right into the financial risk.
Okay.
So we already know that the fossil fuel industry's business plan requires burning all the fossil fuel that's underground right now, and that that is accelerating global warming to catastrophic levels. And especially in this region of the country where a lot of extraction of fossil fuels happens, we see the major health impacts and ecological impacts of that extraction and the pollution that's connected with it. And in this state also, in the last couple of years, we've seen the kinds of lobbying that the fossil fuel industry is able to do with the profits. And some of that lobbying is, of course, directed at weakening environmental regulation, but a lot of it also goes into things that affect public sector unions and other protections for working families.
Well, what about the argument that you'll hear people who are proponents of the use of fossil fuels and investing in fossil fuels, the argument that says that's where the money is, it creates jobs. Certainly you hear that with people who are in favor of fracking. So there are those who feel that whatever harm this may be doing to the environment, that and some would argue that it harms the environment to the extent that you're saying it does. But they're also saying that whatever trade-off there is, it's worth it because look what it's doing for life in Western Pennsylvania.
So that leads right into the financial risk connected with the fossil fuel industry as an investment. So we've seen it be incredibly volatile in the past year, of course. But also, long-term, and this is increasingly becoming the short-term, we're going to have to make real regulations. We've already seen a global negotiations with China and ongoing throughout the year about how to slow climate change. And that means that most of the assets on the books of the fossil fuel industry, most of their inventory, if you will, most of their inventory is fossil fuel that's underground, that's coal or oil or bitumen from the tar sands. It's underground, and nearly 80% of that needs to stay underground in order for us to avoid going over 2 degrees Celsius, which is what the UN has agreed is the limit to avoid catastrophic climate disaster. So those assets will become stranded, right? If we have realistic regulation to protect the planet and ourselves, then the fossil fuel industry will no longer be a very good investment.
Nick Goodfellow, what can you say about the investments that you want Pitt to divest from?
Well, we'd like the University of Pittsburgh to divest from coal, oil, and natural gas. When we talk about fossil fuels, that's what we're referring to. In terms of the actual investments that we know the university has, because of the right to know law, which is a state level law that is supposed to increase transparency for state institutions, but Pitt was kind of in this loophole where they don't have to abide by that rule. We don't really know what they are invested in. We've had one conversation with the administration when they told us there's no direct investments in coal, but we kind of expected that. Nobody's really investing in coal right now, but we're curious to see what they have in terms of natural gas and oil.
And do you get a sense that – I'm sure there are some at Pitt who must be saying to themselves, you know, who are you as students to tell us how to run our university and where to put our money? You just pay your tuition and go to class and get off your high horse. Have you had a sense of any kind of pushback in that way?
No, we've actually had a pretty good discussion with the university. They were receptive to the idea and they want to look at it. They never kind of told us, you know, that sort of they never really addressed us like that.
They may not tell you that.
Right. No. right. But I mean, the University of Pittsburgh isn't just the administrators. It's the students as well. And these investments are investments for the future and returns in the future. And if, you know, our future is, you know, rising sea levels, more polluted land and air and water, that's something that we need to be vocal about and say we want you to, you know, divest from this dangerous future and invest in a renewable energy future.
Let me just jump in here and Gabe, I know you. Well, why don't you go ahead before we?
I just wanted to add to that this isn't about telling institutions what to do with their money. It's about something bigger than that.
It's about
asking them to join us in standing up for a clean energy future and a safe future and one that supports our health and our environment.
But in a sense, isn't that, I mean, what you're doing, you're saying we don't want you to invest your money in these
Absolutely.
Things. So you are saying that.
Yes, but it's about much more than just that. It's about a larger movement and asking our leaders to stand up for what we need.
To stand with you
yes.
in your position. We followed up with the University of Pittsburgh to see if they had any comments about their investments in fossil fuel and divestment. Ken Service, Vice Chancellor for Communications, gave us this statement.
The entire issue of our nation's dependence on fossil fuels is a very complex one and involves many interrelated issues, and it's far from clear how divestiture would affect this matter, but we remain open to further discussions with the students.
And again, that was Kent Service, Vice Chancellor for Communications, speaking on behalf of the University of Pittsburgh and their position on things. In your description of the events that are taking place tomorrow and Saturday, you say that we'll hear the stories from those living in frontline communities most affected by oil and gas extraction. What does that mean? What kind of stories should we expect to hear? Nick.
All right. Well, we've got a few speakers from Center for Coalfield Justice and Marcellus Protest, and they're going to be talking about what it's like dealing with the fossil fuel industry and extraction where they live. You know, here in Pittsburgh, we don't have any fracking wells in our backyard, and we don't have any mountaintop removal, you know, mountains getting blasted apart to access some coal seams. So when we're talking about fossil fuel divestment, we're also talking about this community that is right around the corner from us, right at our doorstep. And it's important to elevate their voices because we can talk about our future and you know what the harms that will come to us. But there are people who are taking an unreasonable amount of the burden of fossil fuel extraction. And it's important for us to use our privilege to elevate their voices and get those personal stories out there so that we're not just talking about economics and stuff.
Gabe, why does the right to know law restrict the information you can access? Isn't it supposed to be the other way around?
Well, I actually think we could have a whole episode just about the right to know law. The way it applies to the fossil fuel divestment campaigns typically is that we're less concerned about the details of how they're invested right now, and we're more concerned for the public commitment to take the next several years to divest from the fossil fuel industry. So regardless of whether we know about what specific investments an institution has right now, we're looking for them to take a reasonable amount of time, 3 to 5 years, and divest from the industry. And it's about that public commitment to ethical investing. It's not so much about the details and the numbers right now.
The details and the numbers would be helpful for us.
Absolutely.
We know that there's an average of 4 to 7% of university endowments are invested in fossil fuel industries. That percentage can be higher in areas that have more fossil fuel industry activity, if you want to put it like that. But the right to know law, you know, it it made it so that the university doesn't have to put out anything other than really in the IRS 990 form. When the law came into effect in 2008, you can notice at the Hillman Library, prior to that, they used to put out these 900-page binders full of all, you know, the all the spending by different university departments by vendor, and you had a lot more accountability. You're able to hold, you know, the administration accountable for what's going on. And when the Right to Know law passed, for some reason, Penn State and Lincoln were defined as state-related institutions, and so our access to information was then restricted, and they're not legally obligated to provide us that information.
And I want to contrast that, though, with the city of Pittsburgh, especially with our new administration, has done a great job with sharing data and being open. And so with the city of Pittsburgh, you actually can see what they're invested in. And we, two of our board members went and met with the financial director of the city. We recently went in and presented information about fossil fuel divestment to the pension board, and we're planning to meet with city council representatives soon. So I feel like the city is really open.
We've been talking with Gabe McMorland. He's an organizer at the Thomas Merton Center, and also Nick Goodfellow, a student organizer with the Fossil Free Pitt Coalition, about the global divestment days and the rallies taking place in Pittsburgh tomorrow and Saturday. I want to thank both of you for being with us for this discussion today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, is a 6-month suspension enough to restore the credibility of NBC anchorman Brian Williams? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.